Today, Shir Masechta in the Dorim, Daf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Zayin and Aleph on the top line. As we've been learning from the beginning of our Masechta, that there is a concept of Yodos, that a legitimate way of expressing a neder is through Yodos. The question is that also acceptable way of accepting something upon oneself in other situations as well? And as we discussed, Rav Papa has asked a number of questions regarding that, where yodas are effective in that. So ask the Gemara, yesh yad l'tzedaka and yad l'tzedaka. If a yad is success, is would be a legitimate way of accepting a tzedaka. And there's a number of ways that the Rishonim approach this question. The Rajba says that the last the sugya we had yesterday was a question of yesh yad l'peya, and presumably asked the Rajba that peya is a form of tzedakah. And if we're going to hold that there's yad by peya, shouldn't there be yad by tzedakah as well? So the Rajba says they're not necessarily the same. Because the Rajba explains that peya is something one is obligated to give. Tzedakah is not something that one is obligated to give. It's much more of a voluntary donation. And since tzedakah is a much more voluntary obligation, that's why the Gemara's question is, says the Rajba, what will be the halacha regarding them? The Ran seems to take a different approach. The Ran seems to take an approach that indeed the question of yesh yad l'tzedakah or yesh yad l'peya are very similar to each other. The Gemara suggests the Ran, Rav Papa, this discussion was in yeshiva, discussed in separate times, and that's why it's mentioned in the Gemara separately, but not that it's really, not that the two questions are not connected. Another way that Rav Kivega makes the point, Kivega says, we also spoke about yeshad l'kedushin. And Kivega says that there's a difference between kedushin and tzedakah, because tzedakah doesn't require the same level of kinyan as kedushin. And therefore the Gemara's question is, maybe by kedushin it wouldn't be a valid way of making a kedushin, but maybe by tzedakah it will be. Again, we've mentioned in our shiurim that there's a question that many mefarshim discuss in all of these sugyas whenever it comes to tzedakah, that the halacha is that if somebody has a decision to give tzedakah, it's obligatory. So the question is, if one just made a decision to give tzedakah and obligates him to give tzedakah, so a yad where he expresses what he wants to do, so certainly be a valid way of expressing tzedakah. So the teretz that we gave, which was the Beis Shlomo and many other achronim suggest, is that indeed it's very possible that one can become obligated in tzedakah even if he didn't make a proper, even if he didn't make a declaration. Just what a decision. However, we've also discussed that if a person decided that he's going to give tzedakah through a declaration, then he has to make a proper declaration. And that's why our Gemara is asking the question, if that, what's going to be a halacha if you made the declaration through a yad? That's one pshat that I saw the Beis Shlomo suggest, that we mentioned this in our previous year as well. And another pshat that I saw that the Paiskim suggest, that yes, if somebody makes a declaration that they're going to give tzedakah, it is, somebody makes a decision that they're going to give tzedakah, the halacha is that that is something that is binding. But it's only binding if the decision was a full-fledged decision. In other words, they want to suggest as follows. When it comes to obligating oneself verbally, as long as one accepted upon himself a verbal obligation, which is halachically an acceptable the obligation, then even though it's not a very perfect obligation, verbal obligation, it's enough to obligate him. But when it comes to a decision that was not verbal, was just made in one's mind, then it has to be a full-fledged decision. And if it doesn't have that quality of being a full-fledged decision, then it wouldn't be obligate him. And that, a Gemara, is very geschmack. Even if we'll say that the person made a decision, a mental decision, it could be his mental decision wasn't 100% clear. So that wouldn't obligate him. But a verbal decision would obligate him, a verbal declaration would obligate him, and now the Gemara is beginning a discussion, what is considered a binding verbal obligation, and what is not, what is considered a binding verbal obligation, and what is not considered a binding verbal obligation. So Gemara drills down. Hey, Chidami, exactly what is the situation of Yad Letzedaka that we are discussing? Ilayma, if we're going to say it's referring to a situation, the Omar, that was a coin over there, and he said, Hadein Zuzul Tzedaka, I want to give this coin for Tzedaka. And then there's another coin there, and he says, Ahu, Vahu Hadein Nami, this other coin should also be a Tzedaka coin. So says the Gemara, Ahu Tzedaka Atzmahi, there is no question that that is a statement that would obligate him. Elo, says the Gemara, the way the Gemara is referring to a situation, Kigoyin the Omar, he said regarding the second coin, Hadein, V'loi Omanami, but he didn't add the word also. Mai. Now the question is, how do we look at this declaration? Does this declaration mean to say, Hadein Nami Tzedaka Kamer, that this coin should also be used for Tzedaka? Adilma, or maybe we ought to interpret, Mai V'Hadein, what did he mean with the Hadein? Nafkusa Ba'alma Kamer, that it should be used for other expenses that I have. And since the Buruhu de la Aske, he didn't clarify what his intention is. And since he didn't clarify his intention, now we need to know, is this an obligatory declaration or not? So the Gemara explains what is the basis of the question. Because the Torah HaKadosh says, Moitzv Sosecha Tishmar, Vasisa Kashanadat L'Hashem Al-Kecha, the Dovash Dibarta Beficha. So we see that the Torah says that both by a carbon, there's a din of Baal Ta'achar, as we've been discussing, that one is not allowed to delay the bringing of his carbon. And Beficha comes to say that so too is regarding a Tzedakah pledge. And the Gemara says that's the question Rav Papa posed. Mi aminin, kima disklish kabonis, since we see Tzedakah is connected to kabonis because of the word Picha, which we said just now, refer to tzedakah. So, ma kabonis. So just like by kabonis, we've been learning yeshlum yad. There's a concept that a yad is considered a proper declaration. So we'll say by tzedakah also yeshlo yad. That's considered a proper declaration. Or dilma, perhaps only regarding hilchas bal ta'acher hu de'iskish. It's only compared by regarding that one specific issue. And as we discussed in our previous year, even though normally we say ein hekish lemechza, and if two subjects are connected, we connect it all the way. Here, the Gemara is saying that it is maybe a legitimate way to, we're not makish it. And we gave a number of explanations in our previous year. One is, because there are clearly areas where we know that Tzedakah and Kabbonis are not the same. So we see that the Hekish is not a full-fledged Hekish. Another way is because it's not that the Torah says that they're the same. It's only learned through the word Beficha. And that's not the type of Hekish that the Halacha, that Ein Hekish Lemechtzon. So the Gemara has not resolved this question. And what is the halacha? If somebody made a tzedakah declaration, is he chayiv? Is he obligated or not? The Rambam and the Ramban and the Rashba say that this is considered sofik yisura. Whenever there's a sofik, if I'm chayiv to do something or not, we have to go l'chumra. The Ran, however, says that this is not considered Safik Isura. This is considered Safik Mamayna. It's a financial issue. Do I owe the Aniyim this money or not? And therefore the Ran says, the Halacha is Safik Mamon Lekula, very much in line with the rule of Hamaitzi Mechaveira Olav Araya, and we can't make the person give the tzedakah. So the Machna Ephraim says, how do we understand the opinion of the Ramban and the Rashba? Says the Machna Ephraim that every tzedakah pledge is deemed Sofik Isura, because if one fails to fulfill the pledge that he's obligated to do, he's over the lav of Lo Yachal Devaray. And since there's over the lav of Lo Yachal Devaray, it's considered Sofik Isura. However, where did the Ran take this concept that giving tzedakah is considered Sofik Memoina? Because if there's a Sofik by Matnas Aniyim, the Gemara Masech Techulin Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph teaches us that we're Mekel. But there, by Matnas Aniyim, there is no lav of Lo Yachal Devaray. And therefore, the Ramban and the Rashba, explained the Machna Ephraim, differentiate between Sofik Matnas Aniyim and Sofik Tzedakah, and their Machmer by Sofik Tzedakah, even though the Gemara is clearly more lenient by Sofik Matnas Aniyim. Which opens up an interesting question. The question is that somebody made a donation. The Chasam Sofer in Yerideya Siman Resh Mem discusses a shaila where somebody made a donation. He got an aliyah and he makes a donation with a Sefer Torah. And in that shul, there are a number of different funds that people donate to when they possibly can donate to when they get an aliyah. And this person doesn't remember to which one of those causes he said he would give the money. And the Chasam Sofer takes a strict approach, and he says that he has to give to all the possible causes that he could have possibly donated to. Then he has to he gives to the to every one of one. Similarly, the Shas Tshuvas Mishnah Lachas Chelik Beis Simkuf Samach Aleph discusses that. Let's say somebody got an aliyah and he doesn't remember how much he donated. That the halacha is he has to give the maximum that he possibly could donated. In other words, if the person knows that if he got an aliyah, he certainly doesn't have to give. He didn't give $1,000, so he wouldn't have to give $1,000. But since he doesn't exactly remember what he intended to give, the halacha teaches us, says the Mishnah Lachas, that he has to give the most that he possibly could have given. We have to be machmer, because it's very much in line what we've been learning now from the Ramban and the Rashba, that they both taught us that whenever we have such a situation, it's a Sofik Isura. And by Sofik Isura, the halacha is we have to be machmer. Continues the Gemara. Another issue the Rav Papa raises. Yeshad lahefka dema en yad lahefka. When somebody said that an object is going to be hefker, is that a proper declaration of hefker or not? Says the Gemara, why is hefker different than tzedakah? Ask the Gemara, hainat tzedakah, that it should be the same as hefker. So of course, the Sefer Nidri's reason says that the hefker the Gemara must be referring to is a hefker that's a mitzvah. For example, he says, if somebody is mafker his chametz on Erev Pesach, so being mafker your chametz on Erev Pesach certainly involves a mitzvah. And since it certainly involves a mitzvah, the question it's similar to tzedakah. And therefore the Gemara's question is, how does one look at this? Says the Gemara, Imtim Tzolayma Kama. Says the Gemara, that's exactly how to understand the Gemara. Imtim Tzolayma, if we're going to say, that yesh lad l'tzedakah, a declaration of a pledge for tzedakah made by a yad is considered a proper declaration. And furthermore, vein hekish lemachza, and why is that? Because as we explained a few moments ago, because tzedakah is like kabonis, and since by kabonis there's a concept of yodus, so too will there be a concept by tzedakah. Now, what's going to be the halacha by hefker? Mi aminin hainu tzedakah? do we say that Hefka is like Tztaka? And if we just finish saying that there's Yodis by Tztaka, there's going to be Yodis by Hefka. A Dilma, one can make the argument, Shani Tztaka, the Tztaka lechazi elaniyim, Tztaka is only given taniyim, Aval Hefka, Hefka which is given Beinla niyim, Beinla shirim. So therefore, it's not the same, and therefore, the halacha is whatever, just because there's Yad by Tztaka, the halacha is, that doesn't mean there's going to be Yad by Hefker. So the Micha Shloima makes a point. He says there's a famous machloikis in Shas, if Hefker la niyim is Hefker. Says, Beishame says, that even if somebody is Mafker, he could designate that I'm only being Mafker this object la niyim. Beishame's opinion, Beisil's opinion is, that isn't Hefker. Unless you make it Hefker for everyone, it's not considered a proper Hefker. So explains the Micha Shloima, certainly, according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, where you could be Mafka something only L'aniyim, that's certainly considered Hefker. But according to Beis Hillel, that you can't be Mafka something only Taniyim, that's why the Gemara, yeah, if it's Hefka, it's Hefka for everybody. That's why the Gemara's question is considered a valid question. The Shari Yosha disagrees. The Shari Yosha says that even though there is a concept, at least according to Beis Shammai, of Hefka L'aniyim, that you can make something only Hefka for aniyim, that doesn't mean that Hefka and Tztaka are synonymous. And therefore, just because it's Hefka for aniyim, just because Tztaka is going to be Yodis, there isn't going to be necessary that Hefker should have a Niyah. And I saw that Rabbi Yosef Engelzatzal, in his Sefer Asvin Daraisa, helps us understand this question. Because even if you're going to say that there's Hefker for Niyah alone, it's still Hefker. It's not Stalker. And Hefker is Hefker, and Stalker is Stalker. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, just because there's Yodis, perhaps, by Stalker, doesn't mean there has to be Yodis by Hefker. Continues the Gemara. The halacha is that in a Beis Akisa, in a bathroom, even if it's clean, one may not say Krishma, one may not daven there. As the Torah Kedoshah says, V'hoye machnecha kadosh. Boy Ravina, so now Ravina asked the question, Yad Yesh Yad L'Beis Akisa. If somebody designates a room to be a basic kisei through a yad, does it make it to a basic kisei oloy? Ask the Gemara, exactly what is the case here? Hechi dami, ilema, dama hadayim beis lava basic kisei, where somebody said that this room should be a basic kisei, and then he said v'hadayim nami, and he said that the other room as well should be a basic kisei. Says the Gemara, there is no question what he said. Hahu basic kisei nami hava. It's clear that the second room has been designated as a basic kisei. And since it's designated as a basic kisei, the halacha is that it's going to, whatever the halacha is on the first room will be on the second room. Ella, where must the question be referring to? Kigoyin to Amar Hadein, he said the first room should be a basic kisei, and the second room he said Hadein v'loy Amar Nami, but he didn't use the word Nami. So now, what did he mean? Hadein da'amav hadein nami basic kisei? Did he mean to say that the second room should also be basic kisei? Or Dilma, maybe what he meant to say was vadein, this other room, l'tashmish ba'almakama, will be a room that we'll use, but not necessarily for basic kisei. But makes the Gemara point, Michlal, but based on this discussion, it's quite clear, the pshita le'levina, the yesh zim le'basic kisei, by designating a room as a bathroom, that is considered adequate, that should be considered a bathroom. But ask the Gemara, is that true? Hamibayle l'Ravina. Ravina actually wasn't sure, and he asks a question. Besakisei mahu. What's the halacha? Hizminu l'besakisei. If you designated a room for besakisei mahu. Hizminu l'besakimerchot. So you designated a room for washing. What's the halacha? Zimun moil. Is designation enough to make it into a bathroom with all of the halachas of a bathroom, or ain't zimun moil, or doesn't make it into the bathroom. So how do we understand this Gemara? Answers the Gemara. Ravina actually had two questions. First question that Ravina had was, Zimun Moil or Ain Zimun Moil? Is mere designation enough to make the room into a bathroom? And, continues the Gemara, says Ravina, Im Tim Tzolayma Ye Zimun, the mere designation is enough to make it into a bathroom. Now the question is, Ye Shad or Yein Yad, what will be the halacha regarding Yad? And I saw that the Avni Nezer explains that even if we're going to say that designation with just a verbal designation is adequate to make a room into a bathroom, suggests the Avni Nezer, there's a difference between a designation that was made verbally and a designation that was made through an action, starting to build the room into a bathroom. Because he says there's a rule in Shas, Asa Dibur Umevatal Dibur. One pronouncement could nullify a previous announcement. And therefore, says Davni Nezer, even if we'll say that that is a adequate way of a designation, by just saying so, if somebody will say, well, I changed my mind, the original statement will become null and void. Whereas, if somebody did an act to make a room into the Beis HaKisei, and then he verbally wants to change his mind, it would be. So we've had many questions in the last two shiurim about if a yad is effective or not. And the Gemara says, Tiboile, it remains a teiku in all these situations. And it's interesting to point out, many Rishonim, when they learn Masechta Nedarim, They even suggest the Masecht and the Darim, Losh and the Darim Mishunah, the wording used in our Masecht is different. Someone has suggested it may even just be a Yerushalmi, not even Bavli. Some suggest that's why the Rashi on our Masecht is not really accepted to be the real Rashi, because Rashi is only wrote on what was Talmud Bavli, traditional Talmud Bavli, and the Darim is not necessarily in that category. And one of the rayas that they show that the Darim is not the same as the rest of Shas, because in the rest of Shas, when you have a question that is left unanswered, the Gemara used the word teiku. Here we see that the Gemara, when it's left with a question that's unanswered, the Gemara used the word tiboyi. So we see that's not really the same as the rest of Shas. We learned in our Mishnah, if somebody said Menuda Anilach, and then he said Shani Oichalach, so the Gemara used the words Rabbi Kiva Choychich Bezel Lahachmer. Rabbi Kiva was not quite sure how to treat this, and he was Machmer. Amar Abaya says Abaya, since we find that it's not clear. Rabbi Kiva wasn't clear what to say. My Rabbi Kiva, says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva will agree that if in such a situation, my Rabbi Kiva, Linya Malkus, that if one violated such a nether, Shein Eloika, there is no Malkus. Dim came, because if Rabbi Kiva held that this is considered a full-fledged nether, then Nisni, he should have said, the Mishnah should have said, Rabbi Kiva Machmer. The fact that the Mishnah used a very different type of wording. It says, Choychich Bezel Lahachmer, it shows that he doesn't really say with a full clarity that we ought to be Machmer. And then many Pshatim in the Rishonim, what is meant by saying, Choychich Bezel Lahachmer? The Ritva says, like somebody who's rubbing himself against the wall. Or another Pshat that I saw that the Rosh suggests, that somebody's asked a question, and he doesn't know the answer, and he just remains silent. Another pshat that I saw, that a person is, you see him going back and forth. What does it mean he's going back and forth? He's trying to decide what to say, because he isn't quite sure what to say. Another pshat that I saw, when somebody is clear about his position, he states it clearly. But if he's not clear with his position, he doesn't express himself in a clear fashion. And that's why, since we see the Rabbi Akiva in our Gemara had a suffix what the halacha ought to be, that's why, even though he's machmer, we don't give malchus. Continues the Gemara. Am Ravina, Nadina Menach. If somebody used the following statement, the following declaration, Nadina Menach Shani Oichalach, the Kulam Leipligi, everybody agrees that this is considered a full-fledged declaration of a nether and usur. And if one may not have any benefit, may not eat from that person, and if he violates that nether, he'll be chayiv malchus. If somebody said shamtana, which is the word for nidui, if somebody said the word for nidui, shamtana mach, l'kol al mishari, everybody will agree that this is just saying that this person ought to be in chayrim, but doesn't represent an acceptance of a nether that I won't have any relationship with you. Says the Gemara, where do we have a machloikis? But my pligi, where do we have a machloikis? Rabbi Kiva and the Chamim, but menuda ani loch shani oichalach. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, lishna neduyahu, that person is trying to separate from that person. And since the person is trying to separate, it's considered a valid acceptance of a nether. Rabbanan Savri, whereas the Rabbanan are of the opinion, Lishna Dem Shamtenehu, it's another way of expressing a Cherim, and since it's a way of expressing a Cherim, this is not the way one is in Cherim, obviously. Says the Gemara, Upligi, this explanation of Rapapa, and explaining the Machloikus of Akiva and the Rabbanan, is in disagreement with the way Rav Chisda explained this Machloikus. Says the Gemara, because the Hugavid was an individual. Dom Mishamtina Menechsi, the braider of Yirmiyah Bar Abba. He used the word Mishamtina. Asla Kameid Rav Chisda. And the question was posed to Rav Chisda, is this a proper way of accepting a nether? Amalei and Rav Chisda said, "Less l'chashloi de Rabbi Akiva." Nobody accepts Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Kesavar, obviously, Rav Chisda's opinion is that they're arguing in Mishamtana, and Rabbi Akiva holds that Mishamtana is a nether. The Rabbanan disagree, and Rav Chisda is saying that we pass like Rabbanan, but we just said by Mishamtana according to Rav Papa, even Rabbi Akiva agrees it's not a nether. Says the Gemara, Amrav Ilo Amrav, Nidu Befonav. If somebody put an individual in the Echerim in front of that individual who was put in the Echerim, the halacha is Ematirim El Befonav. The person who is Echerim to be released from the Echerim, it has to be there. Nidosh Lai Befonav, if he was not put in the Echerim in his own presence, then Matirin Lebein Befonav, Ein Shlo Befonav, then we can release him from the Cherim, even when he's not there. And the reason why, if he was put in Cherim in his own presence, he has to be released in his own presence. The simple pshat, the second pshat in the Ran, is that if he'll see that he knows he's a Cherim, and then he'll see that people are not acting with him as he is supposed to be treated if he's a cherim, he's going to think that people are not taking charamim seriously. In order to avoid that, the only way to avoid it is by releasing him in his own presence. Other rishonim have a much different approach. Their approach is that there's a difference in level of severity of a cherim that's made when the person who put into cherim is there, or when the person who's put in cherim is not there. A cherim that a person is being put into, that he's there, then the halacha is that he could only be released if he's actually there. A cherim that he was put into, where he wasn't actually there when he was put into cherim, doesn't carry the same severity of a cherim. And since it doesn't carry the same severity of a cherim, he doesn't have to be there to be released. What's going to be the nafgamina between the two pshatim? If the person, when he was released from the cherim, and he wasn't there, but he was made aware of the release. So now let's think it through. If the issue is, as the first pshat, which we suggested, that he shouldn't come to think that people are not taking charamim seriously. So here, the charamim will be taken seriously. He knows that they're being taken seriously, but he knows that he was released. But if we say that there's a special halacha in charam, that if you were put in charam in your own presence, you need to be there when you're released, so then just because you're aware that you were released, it would be inadequate. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chana Marav, Hashemei Askar Hashem B'chaveroi. If somebody hears somebody else say Hashem's name, Chas V'Sholem, in vain, Tzorch L'Ndoisoi. He has to be put into Cherem. V'im Loi Nedu, and if the person heard somebody use Hashem's name in vain and not put him in Cherem, then Hu Atzma Yei B'Nidui. The person himself who was there and didn't do anything should be put into Cherem. And the Ran says that the source for treating Hashem's name so seriously is based on the pasuk of Hashem Elokechatira. Moreover, says the Rambam, that this halacha would apply if somebody hears somebody else say a brach levatala, if somebody hears somebody else make a brach shenetricha. In all of these situations, the halacha is that the person is hearing the Shem Hashem not be treated with the proper respect. Moreover, that the halacha is that that's only in a case where the Shem Hashem was mentioned b'mezid improperly. If it was done b'shoigig, then the halacha is we could be, say, the Paiskim, the Rishonim more lenient. Why do we have to take mentioning Hashem's name in vain so very seriously? Because says the Gemara, Shekol Makom Sheashkar Hashem Metzuya, wherever Hashem's name is mentioned, and not in the proper fashion, Shom Anias Metzuya. That's where there will be poverty. And since there's going to be poverty, Vanias Kamisa, and poverty is comparable to death. Why do we see this? Because we find, regarding Dosan Aviram, that spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu to Paroi, the pasuk says, Kamesu Kol Anoshim. Now we know that they didn't actually physically die because they were around much later in the time of Korach. It must be that they became poor, and that's why they consider Ani Chashiv Kames. Of course, the Rishonim all discuss why are we saying that they were considered dead because they became poor. Maybe they were dead for different reasons, because there are other individuals who are considered poor. Somebody who's a suma, somebody who's blind, somebody who's a metzaira, are all considered individuals who are considered people who are dead. So why are we saying that it must be that they became poor? So the proof that they didn't have children is because the pasuk says by the parish of Korach that they and their families, Tapam, all of them died. So obviously they had children. Moreover, to say that they were blind is also difficult to say, because the pasuk says, Ha'ena ha'noshem ha'im tanakar, will you poke out their eyes? So obviously they had eyes. Also, to say that they were metzuroim is difficult, says the Ran, because the pasuk says that the Karev Kol Yisrael, that they were together with the rest of Kla Yisrael. And even though I saw that there was no point of tzaras, there was no such a concept, halakha concept, at that time, so why would make them into mitzaroim? So I saw that Chasam Sofer explains that even if there wasn't a halachic mitzaira, the mitzaira is a disease which people stay away from such an individual. And if they were bekerev of Kol Yisrael, it must be that they weren't mitzaroim, because if they were mitzaroim, nobody would have been with them. Says the Gemara, V'tanya, Komakum shenosu chacham einayim, wherever Chazal are upset at somebody's behavior, oy misa, oy oyni. The halacha is that the person either physically passes away or becomes completely impoverished. Amar of Abba, Havakim the Kamei de Rav Huna, I was standing in front of Rav Huna, v'shamal hachitasa, and I saw this individual, Dafka Haskar Shemai Hashem of Atala, used Hashem's name in vain, Shamta, he put into Chayrim, v'shara la'altabapa, and he immediately released them. But our Gemara had just taught us the importance of understanding the Haskar Shem Hashem. And the morale in the Seif and the Sivas Oilim, in his Seif and the Sivas Oilim, Chelik Beis, the Siv Yiras Hashem, Paragimel, has a very long discussion why, if somebody Chas V'Shalom doesn't show the proper respect for the Shem Hashem, does he become poor? He explains that mentioning Shem Hashem properly, or Chas V'Shalom the other way around, is all based on Yerushalayim. And a person who has Yerushalayim is nichna, is subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But somebody who doesn't have Yerushalayim thinks, Koichi v'yotzim yodi asli achayil azeh. He thinks that it's all about him. And that's why Chas V'Shalom, he's deserving that he should become poor. And that will cause him to be nichna. That will cause him to recognize his place. And then he goes on to explain. He says, the pasuk says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, V'aretz Nasa Le'adam. Only the person who recognizes that everything we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deserving a bracha to have Gashmius. A person who doesn't have the Yerushalayim, a person who doesn't have the recognition that everything comes from Hashem and doesn't have the proper respect for Hashem, Hashem doesn't give him the Shefa, a bracha, and Atzlocha. And that's why the Gemara says somebody who doesn't have the proper respect for Hashem, Shem, becomes poor. I saw that the Medrash says that here we're learning that that saying Hashem's name brings bracha. As the pasuk says, when you say it properly, become makom asher asker shmi ova lecha levrachticha. So what the Torah is teaching us is that when somebody does Shem's name properly, says Hashem's name properly, then he is zoicha to bracha. And that's what says the Satan Rebbe in his Sefer Divrei Yoel, is pshat in the pasuk that says, beginning of Parashat Truma, v'yichuli. And the halach is, the Rashi says, v'yichuli l'shmi. Somebody who gives Truma and gives it with the proper kavana, then he will be zoicha to v'yichuli, that he will be able to be the recipient, that he will be able to be the recipient of Hashem's blessing. And that's why the Yaris Dvash, discussing this halacha, says here the Gemara is teaching us the tremendous amount of respect we have to have for the same Hashem. And he says it's not only when we say Hashem, Hashem in Lashon Kodesh, but even when we say Hashem has name in different languages, if one doesn't say it in the proper way, he says it causes the Chas V'Shalom we should be in Golos. And he discusses how people have papers, newspapers or other articles of paper that have in them the Shem Hashem, and they're not treated with the proper respect. And since they're not treated with the proper respect, that causes that we should be in Golos. We spoke about Dosan Aviram certainly not being Mitzrayim. And we said, because they were Bekar of Kol Yisrael, and we asked the question, well, there was no Halacha Mitzrayim at that point. So I saw that the Gur Aryeh gives another Raya that they weren't Mitzrayim. Because the Pasuk means to say that they were telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you have nothing to worry about Dosan Aviram. Kimesu Kol Anoshim. What was the concern? That they still had influence over Paroi. So if they lost the money, so we know that kings don't necessarily respect poor people. But if they were Mitzrayim, why should it be that they have, that they should not be respected by the king? So it's obvious that they weren't Mitzrayim. Here our Gemara has been so concerned about the Shem Hashem and the respect that we should show to Shem Hashem, and how not showing the respect, what are the consequences of not showing the respect. And the Paiskim discuss that included in this is mentioning, is seeing, having songs on tapes, on CDs, where the Shem Hashem is mentioned and there they're played. And even if one can make an argument that that is not considered the saying the Shem Hashem, obviously Al Gemara is referring to a situation where one is saying the Shem Hashem, it's certainly, I saw Ramosh in the Shas Tshuvas Agus Moshe, Archaim Chel Gimel Simen Lamed Aleph, says that it's still not respectful. And that's why the Paiskim discuss Ramosh in that Tshuva, and so to the Meches Yitzchak and the Shevra Levi discuss where if you have a tape, a CD, with the Shem Hashem on it, it's improper to delete it, because it's showing a tremendous lack of derech eretz for the Shem Hashem, and that's why they suggest that it should be done through a nachri. A Jew shouldn't be the one to erase such a recording. Other paiskim say that it's not really considered anything tangible, anything real, and that's why they may be erased. Which opens up the discussion that when one is learning Gemara, as we often do, and we come across a pasuk, and the pasuk mentions the Shem Hashem, should you say it or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Ayre Chaim Simon Reish Tezvov Sif Gimel, Mutal Luma L'Tanoikas HaBrachas Ki Tikunam, we may teach children the brachas properly, even though they're saying Hashem Hashem, not for a purpose. But the Magen Avraham says, "Av God l'b'shar shalayim and abrachas b'gemara." An adult when he's learning the brachas, "Oyim b'loy askeres Hashem." And this is a big discussion. The Yavetz discuss, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and seems to take the opinion of the Magen Avraham that we have to be careful with the Shem Hashem. But the Yavetz and the Mishnah Berurah seems to say the same, that if somebody's reading a pasuk in the Gemara, so that's what the words of the Gemara are. And the Shem Hashem is part of the Gemara, and therefore may be used. However, there's a few points. That, number one, many paiskim say, Ramosh discusses this, and Ramosh says it's only if while you're learning the Gemara, you're saying the whole pasuk. But if you're not saying the whole pasuk, then even though the pasuk is quoted in the Gemara, it's improper to say Hashem Hashem. Moreover, the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'kein hadarshim barabim, people who say a drasha, or maskirim pasuk sheyesh b'shemis, and they mention psukim that haven't done the Hashem Hashem, lo yifrishu Hashem, they shouldn't say the Hashem Hashem, el yoyim Hashem, v'af, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Shiesh Matirin, there are those that take a lenient approach. Nochen l'srachim gzeh, one should avoid doing so. V'kein on nachnu noyagim. So we see that the minig is to be careful. Similarly, the Paiskim discuss a number of situations. One situation is when somebody's singing Zmiris, and in the Zmiris there are Shem Hashem, one should be careful, even if he's going to say the Shem Hashem, he shouldn't say it more than one time. Also, the Paiskim says, that Mishnah Berurah discusses this as well there, he says that when somebody is listening to Chazar Sashatz, this is particularly the case on the Yom Nerayim, and everybody is participating with the Baal Tefillah in the Chazar Sashatz, they have to be very careful not to say the Shem Hashem together with them. They're not davening then, and they have to be careful not to say the Shem Hashem. And of course, we can't conclude this discussion where Chaya Adam says Even if you say the Shem Hashem, he quotes the Rebbeinu Yeruchim in Klal Hei Simon Aleph, Shafilim Moitzes Hashem Mepiv Belaz, he doesn't say it in Lashon Kodesh, Kishayin Sh'amar G-O-D, Chayiv L'ndoisei, it's Chayiv to be put into Chayim. The Meraimei Sada disagrees, and he says that that's not considered mentioning the Shem Hashem. And in fact, the Shal Sechuvas Ramah discusses this situation, and he says that we have to look at the situation. If a person said Hashem's name, even not in Lashon Kodesh, but it was clear that the person did not mean to be disrespectful to the Shem Hashem, then we could be a little more lenient. But if somebody doesn't, if somebody says the Shem Hashem and it's clear that he doesn't have the proper respect for the Shem Hashem, then the person deserves, says the Ramah, to be put into Chayim. So Gemara just told us, Amar Baba Avakem the Kamei Rav Huna, I was standing by Rav Huna, for Hashem Lachitis, and I heard this woman, Dafka Shah Shem Levatola, she mentions Hashem's name improperly, Shamta, I put into Chayim, V'sharlol Alta Ba'apa, and immediately in front of her, I released her. It says the Gemara, Shema Mina Klas. From this episode, we can learn three halachas. Shema Mina, that Hashem Askar Shem Epech Averi, that if you, as we've been learning, if somebody mentions Shem Hashem, you have to tzarech l'ndoisei. V'shema Mina, another halacha that we've learned in today's shir, that Nidu b'fonav, if somebody's put into Chayrim in his own presence, Ein Matir L'el b'fonav, we should release him when he's there. V'shema Mina, there is no minimum amount of time how long to be in the Chayrim. You could be released immediately. When a Talmud Chacham sees that he did something inappropriate, he could put himself immediately into Chayrim, or Meifil Atzmai, and he could be the one to release him. He could be the one to release himself from the Chayrim. Of course, the Rashba says that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where the person is not chiv nidui alpidin. It's only that he did something inappropriate, so that's why this behavior is okay. It says Marpshita, if he could put himself to chayrim, he could release himself from chayrim. Madatayma answers the Gemara that we would think that there's a rule that ein chayvish mata atzmai mebeis asurim. One cannot be the one that will release himself from prison, Kamash Malan, that a Tam Chacham can release himself. Ask the Gemara, what is the case? Kehadim Azutra Chasida, Kimchai Baba Rav Shamta, if somebody in the yeshiva was Chai of Chayrim, Meshamat Nafshe Bereshe, he would first put himself into Chayrim, the Hadim Meshamat Baba Rav, and then he would put the yeshiva Talmud into Chayrim, the Kail Lebeisei, and when he went home, Sharli Nafshe, he released himself for Hadash Shari Latamide, and then he released the Talmud. Why did he put himself into Chayrim? Because he was careful, explains Tosfos, that he shouldn't forget Chas V'Shalom to release this person. He won't forget to release himself, less like he won't forget for releasing himself, he'll remember to release the Talmud. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that he put himself into Chayrim because this is what he did to a Talmud Chacham. So he did it as a punishment for putting Talmud Chacham into Chayrim. The Miri explains, even though this Talmud was deserving of Chayrim, he wanted to participate in the tsar of the Talmud as well. And that's why he also released himself. He released himself from the Chayrim so that when he came home, so that the members of his family should be able to associate with him. And why did he release himself before he released the Talmud? Because there's a concept of Yovei Zakai V'yischaper al-chayiv, that somebody who is innocent is the one that can affect the kapara. So only after this person had himself released from the chayrim was he in a position to release the Talmud. But then I saw that the Klaus Magareba writes that when he learned the Gemara and Masechta Nedarim, he marked something on the side of his Gemara. What did he mark on the side of his Gemara? The Klaus Magreb as a tzal said that there's a very famous vort from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem says that if somebody sees somebody doing an Aveira, it must mean that the person who saw this person doing this Aveira has some level of that Aveira in his own system. Kadosh Baruch Hu would not cause a person who is totally innocent from an Aveira to see an Aveira unless Hashem was sending a message to him that you also have to be concerned about this. They usually say that the Baal Shem said that if somebody sees somebody being Mechal Shabbos, the message is that you must be also not perfect in Shmir Shabbos, and that's why Hashem brought it to you that you should see somebody else being Mechal Shabbos as a lesson and a message that you need to strengthen your own Shmir Shabbos. Said the Klaus Magareba, that's Pshat in this Gemara. If Talmud Chacham saw that someone else is not being careful with the mentioning of Shem Hashem, it must be a message that he himself is not as strong as he ought to be when it comes to in respecting Shem Hashem. And if just like the person who he saw disrespecting Shem Hashem is put into Cheirim, that's why he would put himself into Cheirim, because he also deserves it. He also is lacking. He also needs to improve. If we see a problem with somebody else, it's not just that the other person maybe has this issue. We have to start thinking about who are we and how are we acting.